Well, good evening. This is really such a beautiful and a powerful scene that's happening here. There's, you know, so many things to talk about. If I had about 45 minutes, I could cover everything that happens here. But I'm going to go through a little bit of it and try and pull the gems out. And these are things that, as I've prayed and read this scripture, and I love to look at what fathers of the church have to say, because they're much smarter than me and most of us probably here. And I'm going to pull some of these gems out, some things that could help and apply to our lives. And the first thing we notice is that Mary and Joseph are fulfilling their obligation. Just a small, important point there of fulfilling our religious obligations. You know, the Jews were required after 40 days to bring their, for it was a male child, to bring it to the temple. And two things were happening. One was the mother underwent a purification rite, which was completely unnecessary for the Blessed Virgin Mary, but they were still faithful in fulfilling the commandments of God. And the other thing was what was called the redemption of the firstborn. All of the firstborn in Israel belonged to God. That was the commandment of God in the Old Testament. And so you actually had to bring your firstborn son and buy him back from the Lord. So those were the two rites that they were fulfilling. And as they're walking in the temple, imagine like this is a drama, like this is a movie you're watching. They're walking into the temple, and in the background, what's happening is this Old Testament prophecy that we read from Malachi is being fulfilled. The longing of the people of Israel for their Savior. This is what's the narrative in the background as Mary, Joseph, and Jesus are walking into the temple. And suddenly there will come to the temple of the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So that prophecy is being fulfilled right then. You know, just when they least expected it, Jesus, the light of the world, was coming into the temple. There's another little interesting thing the fathers of the church point out here. You know, in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant contained the Ten Commandments, and it was lost. Unlike the Indiana Jones movie where they found it, no one's ever found the original Ark of the Covenant, and so it was lost. And some of the fathers said, you know, the Ark contained the Word of God. Guess what? Mary contained the Word of God within her. So Mary is considered by some fathers of the church to be the Ark of the New Covenant. And here comes the Ark of the New Covenant finally returning to the temple. It's a beautiful image to think about. Then the most amazing thing happens. I think of this story, again, there's lots of things that could be talked about, but this Simeon guy is absolutely amazing what happens and what a model he should be for all of us. It says there was this devout man named Simeon. Here's what we know about him from the gospel reading. It says he was righteous and devout. So he's a good man and he's faithful and he comes to the temple to pray. And it says that he was awaiting the consolation of Israel. And what's meant by that is he was awaiting for the Messiah. The consolation of Israel was their way of saying where he was waiting and longing for and praying for and pleading with God to send the Messiah. And you have to wonder how intense his prayers must have been, because the Holy Spirit revealed to him, after all these prayers, the Holy Spirit told him, before you die, you will see the Messiah. Isn't that amazing? And I have to wonder if he wasn't part of this whole plan, that God in his infinite wisdom was answering the prayer of Simeon, who was longing and praying and hoping for the consolation of Israel. And just look how the Holy Spirit was working in his life. And, you know, this is before Pentecost. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was reserved for just a few, the kings, the prophets. Simeon is one of those prophets that had the Holy Spirit. And you look at how he cooperated with the Holy Spirit. So first of all, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him this would happen. And then the Holy Spirit led him to the temple. It says that he came in the Spirit to the temple, meaning the Holy Spirit was guiding his life, would speak to him, would guide his life. And it says that when the parents brought the child Jesus to perform the custom, he took the child in his arms. So somehow, when he came to the temple responding to the Holy Spirit, it was revealed to him, his supernatural vision could, I mean, there were probably more than one child, male child in the temple at this time. I imagine many children going through this kind of rite. The Holy Spirit somehow revealed to him that that is the child, and he goes over and picks up the baby Jesus and proceeds to this beautiful canticle that we read in the Gospels. Now, Lord, you can let your servant go in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all peoples, a light for salvation and glory of your people Israel. What a beautiful scene, and what a great model Simeon is. I want to be like that. I want to speak and listen to God. I want to follow and be led by the Holy Spirit like he was. And I want that supernatural vision to do the things that God wants me to do. I think that's one of the gems of this story, is this prophet Simeon and how we all should emulate him and imitate him. But then comes sort of the dramatic change of scenery here. Like if this were a movie, the really intense music would start right now. Because there's from a scene of great joy and jubilation, it says the parents were marveled at what was said about Jesus. All of a sudden, it's like the bomb drops, and Simeon goes into this prophecy. He says, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted." And then he turns to the Blessed Mother and says, "And you yourself a sword will pierce." Think of the intensity of that moment, how, in some sense, how awkward it was. You know, I do lots of baptisms here. I did one this afternoon, and I'm thinking to myself, that would be like if at the baptism, right after it was done, I looked to the mother and said, "Oh, by the way, there's going to be a sword going through your heart when this child becomes older. It's going to be intense." Not a very nice thing to do. But in God's infinite wisdom, God wanted Mary and Joseph to understand some things so they wouldn't be scandalized, so they wouldn't be caught off guard about what the mission and ministry of Jesus was going to be like. So the message is not pleasant, right? When Simeon says this, that this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. The message is that the ministry of Jesus will result in some division and in some suffering. Some will rise. Those who accept Jesus, you know, will be rising. Those who reject him will fall. And here, I just want to make a few points about this, because I think this is another gem in this story. First of all, God does not desire division. God's will is that everyone come to know Jesus and be illuminated by the light of Christ, that everyone come to the realization of their need for Jesus and turn from their sins and receive new life from him. It's an incredible offer. And God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, their will is that everyone would do that. They don't want division. That's not what God intends. Yet God created us with free will. And God knows that some people will reject this incredible offer of salvation. Some will reject. And so we have some rising and some falling. Jesus himself said this in John's gospel. He says, "The light came into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." And you can look at the ministry of Jesus and see this exact thing happening, right? Some people rejected him. Some people tried to stone him. They tried to throw him off the hill in Nazareth. So his ministry, even though his will was to draw all people back to the Father, during his ministry, there was division. The second gem from this encounter here is that if we follow Christ closely and desire to be his disciples and strive to live a life of holiness, there will be times when our lives will cause division, and there will be times when we will suffer. And this again is the prophecy of Simeon. It's not just for Mary and Joseph, so that they wouldn't be scandalized and caught off guard. Jesus wants us also to not be scandalized and not caught off guard, that sometimes if we're faithful to the Lord, we may experience suffering. We may have a sword through our heart, and we may cause division in those around us. The Christian life, this is the way of looking at it. Christian life is not just about puppy dogs and balloons, you know. It's not just all fun and games. There's a serious side to it, and when we follow Christ with all our hearts, we could cause division, not intending it, of course. We don't want division. We want everyone to come to know the Lord. But we have to be faithful to the truth. And sometimes all of us will face these moments in life where we have the obligation to present and speak the truth or to live the truth in the way we're living our life for Christ. Or we can choose harmony and peace among people. And we have to make those choices. And truth, faithfulness to Christ always needs to be what wins out here. I want to conclude with a saint that lived this out very clearly, St. Thomas More. I don't know how many of you know much about the life of St. Thomas More, but he's a great example of someone who was faced with that very decision. Would he go along with, for the sake of peace and harmony, all of the people around him, or would he be faithful to the teachings of Jesus Christ? He was, if you don't know much, haven't remembered about him, he was the Lord Chancellor of England under Henry VIII, which means he was second in command, almost like a Secretary of State and a Chief of Staff all combined in one in our system of government. And as we you know, Henry VIII wanted an annulment because he didn't have a male child, and so he got into this fight with Rome. And in the middle of this fight, it became clear that what he was going to do is begin separating from Rome, and he was going to make the Church of England his church. Thomas More, being his second in command, wanted to avoid the conflict, wanted to maintain the peace, so he resigned. Really tried to get away from the conflict. But Henry was relentless. He passed this thing called the Oath of Succession, where everybody had to declare that Henry was the king of England, but he was also the supreme head of the Catholic Church in England. And surprisingly, every priest and bishop in England went along with it and took the oath, except for one bishop, John Fisher, and Thomas More. Those two refused to take the oath. And they were sent to the Tower of London, and eventually both were martyred. They had to make the decision that all of us have to face at different times in life. When we follow Christ, when we live for him, will we be faithful to him, even to the point of potentially causing division and suffering for ourselves? We ask St. Thomas to please pray for us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to always love the Lord above all things. My brothers and sisters, we live in a world that's dark and growing darker, where people are believing all kinds of lies. And as we processed in with the candles, what this beautiful feast is really pointing all of us to, besides the two things that Mary and Joseph were doing, it's the feast of celebrating Christ, the light of the world, coming into the world, dispelling the darkness, the lies, the errors, and destroying the devil, as it says in the letter to Hebrews. Jesus, the light of the world, has come. He came in Christmas, but today is a special day where we commemorate his coming into our midst. And we also should strive to walk as children of the light, doing what Jesus did, loving others, calling people back to the Father, but remembering that at times we may have to suffer for it. And there may be times when our words and our actions will cause some division. But we're called to be faithful, like our Lord. May the Lord God give us his grace and his strength to always walk as children of the light. Amen.